Hi, and welcome to Images of Light. In this session, Janine shares on a new paradigm for evangelism. Now, here's Janine.
Woo! Andale! Hoi, hoi, hoi!
Wow! Can I get that on a track and play it every time I speak?
Yeah! Well, I guess she doesn't need any introduction.
No.
Oh, really? Want us to go on? Here's Janine Rodriguez. She's preached to thousands. Author, Bible teacher, and theologian.
You just prophesied. I'm not an author yet.
Okay, all right. Well, Janine has spoken for us before. She comes as part of Streams, but she also has her own ministry, Images of Light, and she just has a passion for Jesus.
Yeah.
She has a passion to reach in and to do the kingdom business like it's never been done before. I'm telling you, she's breaking paradigms, and she's reaching in with the goodness of God and reaching in with the heart of God to touch people. And I'm telling you what, there's an anointing on her life to interpret God. Do you know why Jesus treated the Pharisees so bad? Because, you know, we all think Jesus was so sweet. I'll tell you what, he put some whooping on some booties of some Pharisees. Why? Because they were supposed to be interpreting God, demonstrating God, and they weren't doing a very good job. And I'll tell you what Janine is doing. She is interpreting God. She is demonstrating God's heart of compassion, mercy, and love. And it's enabling people to know God. And so we just want to welcome her and just the flow of God's Spirit that's upon her life and just everything that God's given. And so, Janine, have fun.
Thank you.
And just preach us into glory.
Thank you. There's nothing like starting in laughter and tears, is there? Because He gives us both, doesn't He? You know, He fills us with that joy, and He's fun, and He's crazy, and He's wild, and we laugh, and then all of a sudden, you know, we get a word like that, and you know, it's Him. And if I told you where I was 10 years ago, you wouldn't believe it. I was lost in major sin, and was living life for myself and didn't know it. And, you know, where I was, most people would have thought that I would be lost forever. And then Jesus found me in the middle of all of it, you know? And people spoke grace and truth to me until I was finally able to accept the love of the Father. Because, see, I thought I was too far gone. I thought I was too far over the edge. And that there was no way that really salvation could be mine. See, because I'd loved Jesus all my life. And I believed in the cross. But I still thought there was something I could do to earn it. Do you know what I mean? I still thought there was something I could do to earn a place in heaven and earn a place with God. And it was people speaking of the love and mercy and compassion of our Father and everything that He made available to us through Jesus that brought me to Him, you know? And so my heart is to take that to the world, you know? My heart is to take, it's because see, there's a whole group of people out there. There's tons of people all around us who don't know that. They know religion, you know? They know what people have told them is right and wrong. They know that God hates them if they're in sin. God hates them if they're homosexuals, because that's what a lot of the religious community says. They believe that, you know, if they've gone into the occult, that they've gone too far, there's no way they could ever come back. And God snatches people like that out of the snares of the enemy, you know? He does. He takes people out of there and He says, no, that's my, He's mine. She's mine. You know, and there is nothing, neither past nor present nor future that you can do that is too much sin for God. Jesus, when He died on the cross, He died for it all. For it all. And my heart this morning is really just to talk to you a little bit about a new paradigm for evangelism and a new paradigm for taking, you know, the whole, what we have inside of us, the awesome message that we have inside of us out to the world. And I want to do it here. I love coming to this church. I just want to say that first of all. The presence of the Lord is just so strong here. And I love the prophetic flow that happens in the morning. And this happened last time. If you guys were here last time I spoke, I was like in the back thinking I was going to do something else. And then God, you know, ended up being this whole prophetic flow. And I just, you know, ended up right with it, thinking right at the last minute, changing what I was going to do. And it's so funny because it's like I knew coming here this morning, coming into this weekend, what's on me right now is this whole thing of evangelism. What's on me right now is taking the prophetic and the gifts of the Spirit. And we also do dream interpretation. That's what I was just here this weekend teaching about, was dreams and how God speaks through dreams and through visions. And taking all those things out there. Everything that we usually keep inside of the church out there. And so anyway, so I had this on my heart to do. And then what's so cool is, we get here, and all of a sudden, there's all this prophetic flow happening, right? And there are a lot of things that God was speaking this morning to us, like joy, if we would only believe, being in the lap of the Father, going to heavenly places, seeing what's there, and being able to call it down here. There was a word about scepter and authority and knowing your authority. There was a word about wisdom and counsel. We have the wisdom and counsel that the world needs. You understand that? And the prophetic, there's some, you know, we have the word of wisdom, right? And there are times, you know, most, for the most part, the church takes all the gifts that we have and we keep them in here. And they're four out there. They're four here too, but they're also four out there. And then the last word that I caught, and I'm not sure, hopefully I caught everything that the Lord said this morning, but there was, believe what God says about you. Believe what God says about you. Believe who you are. And in believing who you are and believing what God has put inside of you is going to give you the confidence that you need to take what you have to a dying world. So what I want to do is I want to take from what God is already speaking this morning and what all those words that I just said, and I want to just share with you some of the stories that I've had and how I've seen these things demonstrated out there. And I really believe, I already feel an impartation right now going out in the Spirit. And I'm going to just continue to pray that that happens all while I'm talking. And I just really believe that God is going to stir you. You know, whatever, there are various things that I'm going to say, and you're going to grab on to different pieces. And I would encourage you, whatever ignites in your spirit, take to the Lord, meditate on it, because there's something for you. It's like, it's almost like when you hear a teaching, there's prophetic words happening at the same time. Even if I don't call your name out, you know, personally and say, hey, you know, and this, whatever, that I have a word. If you grab something in the spirit because something ignites inside of you, talk to the Lord about it. Hang on to that, because that's a prophetic word for you and an indicator of something that you're going to start seeing live out in your life. All right. I want to start with being in the lap of the Father. Jesus said, when the Pharisees asked him, what's the greatest commandment? They're trying to trip him up, right? And what does he answer? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, right? And then what else does he say? Love your neighbor as yourself. Part of why God continues, like this morning, singing over us, why he does that, not just so that we would know his love for us, because he wants us to know that. First and foremost, he is concerned about relationship with you. But notice in that verse how that leads to something else. When you begin to love yourself, you can also love your neighbors better. When you begin to know and be certain of the love of the Father for you in your life, you are then certain and you are able to communicate that love of the Father out there. All right? So I want to encourage you, give yourself. Give yourself to receiving from the love of the Father. Spend time with him. Spend time in his presence. If you don't believe that he loves you, there's no condemnation in that. Just spend time with him, letting him say that to you over and 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 over again until you believe it. Because what happens is what you focus on is what you make room for. When you focus on and you confess that the Father loves you, even when your natural mind doesn't believe it, what ends up happening is you say it enough times, and before you know it, that very truth deposits in your spirit and your heart. And you won't even know. It'll just, most for a lot of people, you just shift and you suddenly realize, oh my gosh, I really know that God loves me. I really know he wants to bless me. And you won't necessarily know, you know, this blinding flash of a moment happened. It just happened gradually because you've confessed it enough times. Now, when you know the love of the Father, when you know that he wants to meet every single one of us, no matter where we are, you then start to have eyes of kindness and compassion for the people out there. What does the word say? The word says that God kindness is what leads us to repentance. That God's mercy always triumphs over judgment. Always triumphs over judgment. And so here's the thing that I see in the church. We have a heart to evangelize, right? But we think that we have to go out there, and when we're in encounter, that we have to convict people of their sin by our words. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's not our job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And sadly, I've seen encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter where people, when they find out that we're Christians, can't believe we're Christians. Because they're like, you're nice. How can you be a Christian? The only thing I've ever felt from Christians is judgment and hatred. And all of a sudden, because they've encountered the kindness of God, they're like, wow, you're like no Christian I've ever met. And I pray that I stop hearing that at some point. That there comes a change in the church where we really know the kindness of God and where we're demonstrating the kindness of God to people out there. And when they tell us of sin, rather, or we know of sin, rather than condemning them for it, we invite them into the lap of the Father where we are. Because he's the one that can take care of all that stuff. I was just at the Sundance Film Festival last week, and there was a young kid named Cody. And I just want to share a little story because it's going to illustrate this point, okay? So Cody is drunk, all right? I'm in a Turning Leaf lounge. We're in a wine lounge. I know that's kind of freaky for some people here, and that's okay. But here's the thing. Light belongs in the darkness, okay? Now, I wasn't there getting drunk. I was there trying to find where God was because God wants to meet people there, all right? So we're sitting there, we're hanging out, and we meet this kid named Cody, and Cody's drunk. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to talk to him? He's drunk, you know? And he's like, watch and see, you know? Because he was like, I mean, it wasn't like he just had a couple drinks, all right? It was like he was on number 8 or 9, and by the end of our conversation, 10, 11, 12, it happened, okay? So we're talking, and Cody has this dream. So in addition to using the prophetic gifts, we also interpret dreams out there. And so we go to all places around the world, and we have these little name tags, and it says Spirit Dream Interpretation, you know, team, whatever. So we're out there, and we go up to him, and he has this dream. And in this dream, he's fighting something. And he doesn't know what he's fighting, but he's punching as hard as he can, but his punches aren't having any effect. But even though they're not having any effect and he's not hitting anything, all the strength is draining from him, and he just like wears out and he can't punch anymore. And so I looked at him and I said, there's something in your life, there's some issue in your life that you are fighting against right now, and you're fighting it in the wrong way. Whatever it is that you're trying to battle against, you're not fighting the way you're supposed to fight. And until you figure out the right way, you're going to keep having the dream. And in fact, the way that you're fighting it is really draining all your joy, all your energy, all your strength. And so he looked at me and he goes, you know, I think I know what it is. And he, as a drunk, starts talking about alcoholism and how he turns to alcohol for all the pain that's inside of him. And he starts sharing all of this stuff, right? And I said, Cody, you can try to ignore all that stuff. I said, you're fighting it by drinking, and this is what's happening. Your life is being drained from you. That's what the dream is pointing to. And he said, that's what the voice keeps saying in my head. And I looked, really? I said, you hear a voice? And he goes, yeah, I do. And I said, I think you need to start listening to that voice. And he looks at me, and then I said, in fact, if you start listening to that voice, you're going to stop having that dream. And he looked at me, and he said an expletive. I won't say it here. You can probably change it. He said, shoot. So imagine. Okay? Shoot. You mean I'm going to find Jesus? And I looked at him, and I go, pretty much. Because you mean I'm going to find Jesus, and I'm going to start going back to church? And I was like, yeah. That opened up a 45-minute conversation. Now, probably about 20, 30 minutes into the conversation, the presence of Jesus is increasing. And we were kind of going in and out of really hysterical conversation because he was very self-deprecating. He knew his stuff, you know, and he was being funny about it because here's the thing. He was in sin. He knew it. He didn't want to give it up yet, you know, so he was kind of talking about it in a very humorous way, and we were laughing and having a great time. But we would come in and out of these really serious moments. And the presence of Jesus kept increasing and increasing and increasing in our encounter. So we're talking about Jesus, every, you know, kind of going in and out of this hysterical conversation. We'd have serious moments. Finally, I'm kind of pulled aside to him, and it's just the two of us talking one-on-one because my team member was with someone else. And I'm talking to him, and the presence of Jesus just, it just explodes as we're sitting right there. And he looks at me, he goes, I can't believe I'm going to tell you this. I can't believe I'm going to tell you this. And I felt the spirit of confession come over him. And he said that about 10 times. And I just touched his arm and I said, you know what, Cody, it's okay. Whatever it is you need to get off your chest, it's fine. And he looked at me and he said, he goes, I'm kind of like a sexual deviant. And then he starts telling me about all the sexual sin that he's in. And he wasn't trying to slime me. And he wasn't trying to, he really was trapped in this place of sexual sin. And he was being honest about it. And I looked at him. I said, you know what, Cody? I said, did you know that Jesus wants you even though you're in all this stuff? Did you know that he sent me here so I could talk to you about how much he loves you and how much he wants you? Did you know that even in the middle of all that stuff that he sees it and he still says, that's one of the people who's going to be my kids? And he looks at me and he goes, you are freaking kidding me. He said something else, actually. I'm changing the language a little bit, okay? And I looked at him and I said, no, I'm not. I said, that's how good God is. Now, because God has been loving on me, because his kindness drew me to repentance, because I know about his mercy triumphing over judgment, in that moment, rather than judging the sin that he was talking about, the sin about, you know, giving himself over to alcohol, giving himself over to sexual sin, all those things, I was speaking the truth of the Father to him, which is God loves him in the middle of that. God hates the sin. But he loves Cody, and he wants Cody, and his eyes are on him. When you start grabbing hold of the love of the Father for yourself, you are going to start naturally loving other people just where they are. And the more that you understand about his mercy and compassion, the more you're going to be able to demonstrate that to other people. And that's the kind of evangelist that we need out there. We got plenty of them that are condemning. We have plenty of them that are trying to convict people of their sin. We don't have a lot who are communicating the heart of the Father to a dying world. And you guys can join him in that. All right. One of the other things that came out this morning was about joy and being a friend of God and how your life just gets filled with joy when you know that you're a friend of God. And God's been doing that with me over the last few years like crazy. And, you know, there are times when I just get filled with laughter because of knowing who he is and knowing who I am and the impartation of all these amazing things. And so it was so cool because at the end of this encounter with Cody, now my friend Laura and I are together and there's the four of us talking and Cody looks at us and he goes, you guys are, and he's still like kind of slurring his words a little. I wish I could do it. He goes, you guys are like, you're just so beautiful and happy, you know? And I looked at him and I said, I said, do you know what? I said, did you know that you're seeing Jesus? And he goes, yeah. And then he goes, expletive. And the reason why he kept cussing in the encounter was because he knew. It was like every time he said it, he knew he was going to be responsible the next day. He knew like the next day, he kept referring to what it was going to be like when he woke up the next day and remembering the conversation and knowing he was going to have to respond at some point to it, even if he wasn't ready then, you know? And I have an awesome picture. If some of you guys want to see it, I have it on my digital camera. The difference between our countenances. Like I took this picture and he looks at the picture and he looks at me and my friend and we're like bright and shiny and happy and full of joy and we have all these smiles and he's like, you know? And he goes, dude, I look like fill in the blank. He's just like, he's knowing he is not matching us, you know? We're the only ones who can carry pure joy. We're the only ones. You can be happy. You can be happy as a non-Christian. You can't be joyful as a non-Christian. Do you know why? Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So the only way that you have joy is if you're filled with the Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit, which means that a lot of things that make people happy is really just a counterfeit, right? It's a counterfeit for Jesus. So maybe they think they're happy, but at some point, they always vacillate in their emotions, right? As Christians, we are meant to live in a place of joy. We're meant to know a place of joy. And we're the only ones who can give that out there, all right? So God was talking about joy this morning. He wants to so fill you with his joy. Not just for yourself. I mean, yes, he wants to do that just for you, but he also wants to do it so you can take it out there and give that joy away. All right. What's the next one? Believing what God says about you. There was a word this morning about believing what God says about you. Now, there's a whole bunch of things. There's a whole bunch of lies that the enemy wants to talk to us about. And there's things that he speaks to us, truth that he speaks to us that brings deliverance, that brings healing and everything else. But there are also lies that he speaks to you about your destiny. And there are also lies that he speaks to you about the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? And I just want to say this. If you are a believer in Jesus and you have received Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, living inside of you, okay? And I hear people say all the time, oh, I don't really hear God's voice. You couldn't hear God's voice and come to know Jesus without, I mean, you couldn't know Jesus without knowing God's voice. You couldn't. There's just no way. He was speaking to you, he was drawing you, etc., okay? I also see in the body of Christ a lot of comparison in gifts. Oh, that person moves in the word of knowledge. That person moves in the word of wisdom. That person does this. Well, yes, that's true. There are certain, you know, we kind of have some gifts that are really strong in us and some that are strong in others. However, the Holy Spirit is a giver of all those gifts, which means at any moment that he needs to impart that gift to you so that you can do what you need to do, it's accessible. All right? Now, if you would start believing what God says about you, if you would start believing that the Holy Spirit is in you, that you have access to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, you would know that anytime you're out there encountering anyone, you have access to the prophetic spirit. You have access to the one who knows that person's entire history, that person's entire future. And there are things like you are going to start walking in knowing that person's name, knowing where they live, knowing where they came from, because the Holy Spirit knows all of that, all right? And you don't get to decide necessarily what it is that he's going to tell you. He's the one. But you never know what you might say that can unlock a person's heart. When I was new and walking in the prophetic and just starting in the prophetic, I saw a lot of kind of displays of power, if you will. You know, people who had like name, address, number, blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, oh gosh, who am I compared to that? I don't get that kind of stuff, you know? But I had these little impressions, and I started paying attention just to the little pictures I would get and just the little impressions that I would get now and then. One of the very first words I ever spoke to someone, I was at a concert. I was at a Christian concert, and there was this girl in front of me, and we were all worshiping, and the Lord started speaking to me about this young girl. And as I was sitting there, well, I shouldn't even say speaking, because sometimes when I say speaking, people think that I mean I heard an actual voice speaking to me, and that's not what I heard. She was in front of me, and a very low-level impression came, and I saw this house, this big, 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 beautiful house, and I saw her running into it, and the Lord just gave me the impression, she needs to know I'm her home. That's it. She needs to know I'm her home. And I'm like, I'm at a Christian concert. How big of a word is that? Do you know what I mean? We all love the Father. Of course we all know that he's our home. Of course that we know, you know. And so I'm arguing with the Lord about, you know, this isn't really that big of a word, God. You know? And I'm like, why do I need to tell her? I don't even know her. I'm not even sure that I'm hearing you. And I'm doing that whole battle, right? Do it that we get in our mind. Don't you do it? You kind of get in that place where you're like, is this me? Is this God? Is this me? Is this God? And it's like, you know, you feel like a schizophrenic in your head, you know? And you don't know, right? Okay, so I go up to her, finally, I'm finally obeying, you know, and I go up to the girl, and I just said, excuse me, and I said, I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you something, and I'm like, you know what you do when you, like, kowtow, and you're, like, apologizing, you're like, I don't really know if this is God, and blah, 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 and you kind of do the whole preamble of non-belief, right, and doubt. We all do it, don't we? Okay, it's like the 5-minute preamble, like, don't believe what I'm saying. That's what we're, right? Okay, so I'm doing the whole doubt and unbelief preamble, right? Okay, so I start out with that, and then I finally say, but I think maybe I'm supposed to tell you, and I looked at her and I said, God wants you to know that he's your perfect home. And she runs out of the sanctuary crying. I'm like, oh, that didn't go so good. I'm not sure what's going on. 5 minutes later, she comes back. She ran out to the car to get her journal because just that morning, she had been journaling and she said, God, I need a new home. Because her parents had been arguing and fighting. They were on the cusp of divorce. And, it was just not a peaceful place where she was. And she was just like, I got to have a new home. And that simple word, which came out of a very, very small impression and very quick picture, delivered her right then and there. All of a sudden, she realized, oh my gosh, I don't need to actually move outside of my parents' home. I just got to find my home in him, yes. Right in the middle of the situation. That's the power of the prophetic, okay? And here's the thing. The enemy is going to bring doubt and unbelief all the time to you. And you're going to try to compare yourself to other people. And you're going to say, oh, he's the one who's got the prophetic words. Or she's the one who can interpret dreams. Or blah, 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 blah. When in actuality, you know, all dream interpretations belong to God. That's actually in the Bible. Joseph says that. All interpretations belong to God. Who lives in you? Who lives in you? God, doesn't he? Which means you have access to the one who has all interpretations to dreams. You have access to the one who is the author of all prophecy. You have access to the one who gives words of wisdom, words of counsel, everything, healing, everything. If you would just believe that you are who he says you are. All right? Everything that he was speaking this morning, I'm just likening to keys for prophetic evangelism, to taking what we have out there. All right? Being in the lap of the Father, knowing who you are, knowing his love, being filled with his joy, being willing to take it out there, and believing that you are who he says that you are. That you are who he says that you are, and you have access to the one who knows everything about everyone, and you can just be a conduit of his light and love anywhere you go. All right. What was the other one? Going to heavenly places, pulling into the natural realm that which is in heaven. At the very end, we were just talking about going to the throne of the Father and using our imagination, right, and seeing ourselves there. Going to heavenly places that's an awesome exercise, and I want to encourage you to do that. Did you know, just as Pastor Mark was saying, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is the truth of the scripture. Whether you know it or not is one thing, right? You may not necessarily believe it or know that you know it, but the scripture says it, which means it's true, okay? So when you start understanding that you belong in heavenly places and that you're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, that means you're seated at the right hand of the Father, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That also means that you can see into the future from heavenly places about people's future. Because all of us come from the Father, don't we? The scripture says that, right? Okay, so the scripture also says that he created every single person on this earth with a destiny, didn't he? Jeremiah 29:11. You have a purpose and a destiny. I have plans for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you, right? So every single one of us, we have a destiny. Psalm 139, what does Psalm 139 says? He knows every single day of our lives, doesn't he? They've all been written in his book. Okay, so he knows everything about everyone. When you start realizing that you're seated with him in heavenly places and that you have access to that, you can start pulling onto earth those things that have been prepared for people in heaven that they don't even know about just yet. Okay? You start prophesying into people's lives, and we do it a lot in church, right? But you can do it out there too. All right? Okay, so another story. I was on an outreach a few years ago, and we were at this coffee house, and I love the exuberance of young people, man. I just love it. And I love how open they are. They're so, so open. This generation right now, they are hungering for true spirituality. And part of the reason why we need to get out there is because they are going to give themselves to something. They are so hungry for a spiritual path that they will give themselves to something. And if they don't find it in Jesus, they're going to find it somewhere else. So we're in this coffee house, and my friends and I are sitting there, and there was this group of like 8 kids. And so I went over and I said, hi, I said, we're here, and we are interpreting dreams. And it was like, what? You're interpreting dreams? And all of a sudden, like literally, I didn't even have to say anything, like invite them over to our table. All of a sudden, all those 8 kids are like, whoosh, over to our table, you know? And they're all sitting around and they're all just talking, you know, 8 miles a minute. And, you know, we're trying to like do some semblance of order so that we can, you know, interpret their dreams and everything. And so anyway, so we start interpreting their dreams one by one and prophesying one by one. And there's this little kid, and his name is JC. He's probably about 13 years old, and he's really quiet, and he's being patient while everybody kind of gets their stuff. And so finally, I just kind of pull JC into a little private conversation. And I look at him, and I just said, JC, you're an artist. And he looks at me, and he goes, how did you know that? And I said, because God told me. And he goes, what? And I go, yeah, he's the one who gave you the gift of art, and he's put it inside of you. And he's like, oh, my gosh. And he starts crying. And I said, and the sense I have is that your parents have not really encouraged that in you. In fact, they've really discouraged you. And you've been ridiculed by your friends for your art. And you've been ridiculed even by your teachers because they don't understand your art. And all of a sudden, he is bawling. And I looked at him and I said, he's like trying to wipe his tears because he's embarrassed because all of his friends are there, you know. And I just looked at him and I said, you know what, JC? I said, God gave you that gift of art. And I see you in the future creating art that points people to him. And I just looked at him and I just said, you know, I just want to encourage you. God sent me here to tell you that he gave you this gift. And that even though right now it's really hard for you, he wants you to know if no one else affirms it right now, he affirms it right now. And so all his friends are leaving, and he's looking at me, and he's like knows that he has to leave with his friends, and he looks at me, and he goes, I don't want to leave you. He goes, I don't want to leave. And I said, do you know why you don't want to leave? You don't want to leave because you're feeling the presence of God, and you're feeling how much he loves you, and because you're understanding how he created you and what he has for your life. I said, but do you know what? You don't have to leave that. He's accessible to you anytime. It's not me. It's just him. And I just said, anytime you want, you just pray to God, and he's going to reveal himself to you, and he's going to help you through the hard times. And he's wiping his tears again, and he leans over, and he gives me a kiss on the cheek. 13-year-old gives me a hug, and he walks out of the coffee house. Now, I got to tell you, I'm telling you this story, but here's the thing. I am not all that prophetic, okay? There are a lot of people in this world who are a lot more prophetic than me, quote unquote, okay? Meaning they do it with more frequency, more accuracy, higher level things or whatever, okay? But here's the thing. I am extremely prophetic. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay? So there's part of me that's saying I'm not all that prophetic, but the reality is even I compare myself to other people. Even I compare myself, oh, you know, I don't get that stuff. And yet, you know, there's life-changing things happening in these encounters everywhere we go. And it's not me, it's God. You know, it's not about you, it's about him. And he will give you those things. And what the awesome thing is about the prophetic is the prophetic takes things that are not. We speak things that aren't in existence yet. Things that are not in existence. And we speak them as though they are. And by doing that, we actually pull them into from that heavenly place where we are seated, where all of that we have access to, the prophetic, we pull all of that into the natural realm. And here's what happens. What we sow will be reaped. That's a law of God. The law of God is what is sowing, when you sow, you will reap. At some point, if not already, that word that I spoke into JC will reap. All right? So even though I don't think that he had any paradigm at that moment that his art was going to turn people to God. But I spoke that into existence, and I believe by faith that was an impartation into his spirit, that God's got his mark on him, and that's going to happen. All right? Now, here's the really cool thing about doing evangelism this way. That encounter was 5 years ago. I got JC's name. I pray for JC every now and then. We created a relationship in that moment. I know a lot of stuff about him just from a 15-minute encounter. When you start relating to people like this, instead of trying to, instead of speaking at them and trying to force them to believe something, when you give yourself to prophetic evangelism and taking, you know, words of wisdom, words of prophecy, etc. When you speak it out and you give someone room to respond, you create relationship. Okay? They're more open to what it is that you're hearing, and all of a sudden, you get a picture into their lives. And now, after the encounter, you know things about them that you never would have known simply by listening, and simply by waiting, and simply by hearing and letting things that they say that you would correct another Christian for, you know, just letting it go, which I don't think we should be correcting Christians either, but that's another subject. All right? Okay. So another key to prophetic evangelism is knowing that you have a rightful place in heavenly places. There's a rightful place that Jesus bought for you when he died on the cross. When he died on the cross, it was not just about dying for your sins. It was about opening the gates of heaven. All right? He opened the gates of heaven. And he opened the gates of heaven not just so that when you die, you will go to heaven. He opened the gates of heaven so that you could have access to heaven and live in the kingdom now. Yes. All right? You can live in the kingdom now. Yes. And every single one of you, whether you know it or not, every single one of you is vital, vital, vital. Every single one of you is vital for advancing the kingdom.
That's right.
And I want to encourage you to grab a hold of that. I want to encourage you to grab a hold of your destiny. And if you don't know what it is, pray that God will reveal it to you. He will show it to you. Every single one of us has a unique purpose, has a unique calling, has a unique destiny. I can't do what you're supposed to do. You can't do what I'm supposed to do. Every single one of us has a unique destiny, purpose, and calling. I was saying this in the class, I think it was on Friday. You know how you have everybody has unique DNA, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know that they have recently discovered that your DNA actually plays a song? That means that every single one of you has a unique song that only you can sing. No one else on the face of the earth who has ever lived, who will ever live, can sing your song. Now here's what's interesting. Song and sound have vibration, don't they? All right? When you put them out, you know how when you listen to a song and some people really like a song and you don't really like a song? It's because something in you is reverberating, and whatever it is that's coming from that song, it's sort of matching your spirit, and you're kind of intermingling with that, right? And you're responding to the vibration of that song. Okay. There are people out there in the world who will only reverberate with your song. Understand that? So there are people that you're called to, you know. You know how some people just have this thing, they got to go to China, they got to go to China. Why? Because there are people in China who reverberate with their song. And that's where they have to go because that's where they have to sing their song. You, I want to encourage you, find, ask the Lord, what's my song? What's my message? You know? And understand that there are people that you're going to be called to that maybe other people aren't going to be called to, but there's something about the sound that's coming out from you that's going to reverberate with the people around you. And they're going to come to, they're going to at least feel the presence of God, and hopefully in the encounter, maybe know a little bit more about God, and sometimes they're actually going to respond to Jesus. All right? But there's a unique message that you have to give to people in the world. And I want to encourage you to believe that about yourself. All right, one more story about my doubt and unbelief. Because we're talking about knowing that we are in heavenly places, right? And we're talking about believing what God says about us, right? Okay, so the very first time I'm at the Sundance Film Festival, I've been going every year to the Sundance Film Festival since 2003 to interpret dreams. And so the very first time we're out there, I'd heard some of this message, a little bit of this message. And so I'd heard kind of this new paradigm for evangelism and, you know, I'd been studying dream interpretation, whatever. But we're going out on this the first night, we're going to a Starbucks. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm really not prophetic. I really don't know how to interpret dreams. I don't really know if I believe this is evangelism, you know, because I had all this paradigm of what evangelism should look like, which is you got to pass out tracts. You got to tell, you know, you got to talk to them about the gospel. You have to tell them the four spiritual laws. You have to pray with them. You have to get them saved, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm thinking about what we're about to do. So, okay, so we're going to sit in a coffee house and we're going to talk to people about their dreams. How is this evangelism? You know? So I'm like, doubt, 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 doubt. Unbelief, 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 unbelief as I'm out there. Okay. So this is the great spiritual, you know, energy that I'm bringing to our team. This great belief, this great, right? Okay. So I go to Starbucks, and God was so cool because the very first encounter we had, you guys heard, if you took the class this weekend, you heard this story. The very first encounter we had was with a guy named Will. And Will had very crazy, creative, inventive dreams. They were awesome. And so we were talking to him about that he was going to get inventions and dreams and creative things and dreams and to listen to his dreams because they were really going to help kind of open up his destiny. But we really hadn't gotten to much of a spiritual conversation with him yet, and I had a sense that he had had a dream from God that was important, you know, for us to interpret. So I'm sitting there, and we're actually near the end of the conversation, and he's just about to get up from the table, and just as he's getting up, I'm like, Lord, please remind him of a dream that you gave him. I know there's one more we're supposed to interpret. And just as I finish that prayer, Will sits back down. And he'd been with us for like half an hour, and so he's concerned about taking our time. And he looks at us, and he's like, you know what? I have one more dream. You know, would you mind if I shared it with you? And I was like, oh, this is it. This is the one, you know? So he looks at me, and he goes, so I had this dream about heaven the other night. I'm like, ooh, that's good, you know? And he goes, I have this dream, and I see the most amazing castle I've ever seen, like this huge mansion. You can't even describe it. There are no earthly words to describe it. It's absolutely incredible. And I'm like, ooh, that's good. That's in the scriptures, you know? I know where he's going with that. And then he goes, and then I saw a dairy cow and a disco ball. And I was deflated because I was like, what the heck am I going to do with that? You know? But the Lord dropped the interpretation into my spirit. And I looked at him and I said, Will, I said, did you know that there are sacred scriptures about mansions that are in heaven? And I said, they are beautiful beyond description. There's nothing you could ever compare them to on this earth, what's in heaven. He goes, no, I didn't know that. And then I got a really, really strange word of knowledge, the strangest one I've ever heard. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, he loves cheese. Dairy cow. So I look at him and I go, Will, I said, do you like cheese? And his girlfriend sitting next to him, and she goes, oh my gosh, it's like a food group to him. And I started laughing, and I look at him, and I go, that is God's really funny way of telling you that everything you would love to eat is going to be there. I said, did you know that there are also sacred scriptures about the banquet that's in heaven, the feast that's in heaven waiting for us? He's like, no, I didn't know that. And then I said, no, I think the disco ball is God's really funny way of just telling you it's going to be a party. And he's like, he just starts laughing and he kind of tears up a little bit. And then the Lord told me, he's been asking whether or not I exist and if heaven is real. And so I looked at him and I said, Will, I said, you've been asking whether or not God exists and whether or not heaven is real, haven't you? And he goes, yeah, I have. And I said, Well, I really believe that God sent us here tonight to interpret this dream for you and let you know he does exist and heaven is real. And if you would just ask him, if you just ask him your questions, he's going to reveal more and more and more to you. And he's tearing up by this point. And that's about all that he can take. And he gets up from the table and he goes, thank you. He said, I know I came here tonight because I was supposed to meet you guys. Now, here's the thing, and this might challenge some of you, and I understand that. We never actually ended up talking about Jesus in that encounter, okay? We never got there. Why? Because he was ready. That was all that he could take at that moment. All that he could take was what we had revealed. He's crying, he's embarrassed in front of his friend, you know, and he was ready to leave. That was it. But here's the thing, I realized after that encounter, to say that I think I have to seal the deal right then and there means that I don't trust God. It means that I don't trust God with the next encounter. That I don't trust him to give him another dream. That I don't trust him to put Christians around him. And here's the thing, when God has his eye on you, he's got his eye on you. And he's going to make sure he pulls all the people around you. So we don't need to feel like we have to seal the deal when we're out there. All we need to do is partner with the Holy Spirit, see where this person is at, ask the Holy Spirit for whatever word is going to unlock their hearts to move them just a little bit closer to God, you know? And sometimes when we're out there, we are going to have the privilege of praying with people and help them to know Jesus and help them to receive Jesus. But sometimes you're just going to have the one word that causes them to seek even more. And what does the scripture say? If you seek him, you will find him. Okay? That's not just true for you and me. That's true for them. So if what we're doing is encouraging them to seek, they will find. They will find. All right? That's another example. That's, gosh, you're talking about heavenly places. You're talking about a heavenly dream being given to a non-believer. Now, he's not seated in Christ with heavenly places, but let me tell you, he's marked. You know? And I'm believing that one day he's going to know it. You know? And again, his name's Will. I've met him 5 years ago, and I'm still praying for him. All right. So, being in the lap of the Father, knowing his love, having the joy, spreading that around, believing that you are who he says you are, knowing that you're seated in heavenly places, which means that you can access all that you need to speak into people's lives, whatever it is that needs to be spoken. All right? Okay. Scepter and authority, knowing that you have, God's given you, when you came to accept the Lord Jesus, you also were handed the keys of the kingdom. Okay, when Jesus left this earth, he left the keys of the kingdom to the church. Who's the church? You are. You're the church. You have the keys of the kingdom, which means that you have the authority of Christ in you. You rule and reign with a scepter. All right? You have the authority to walk into a place that is dark and shed the light and walk in the authority of Christ. Okay? All right. So I'm going to talk to you about what happens when you know that you're walking in authority. There's another story I want to share. A young girl named Laura. This was also 5 years ago. Laura was 25 at the time, so she'd be 30 now. She was an actress and a model and was at the Sundance Film Festival showing a film. And when we walked up to Laura, I could tell that she was not only drunk, but that she was also drugged. But the Lord had, you know, it was very clear that we were supposed to meet her. And so I'm like, God, how am I going to talk to her? How are we even going to have a conversation? Because she was so completely out there that you couldn't even really connect in words, you know? So we sat there and the Lord just says, watch. Watch what my presence does. Watch what you, with my light, release right here and the authority that that has, okay? So I'm just watching. We're in conversation. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's presence comes as my friend and I are releasing the Holy Spirit. We're there with the light. We're asking for God to take authority over all the demons. We're not doing this out loud, by the way, and like, shabbat shabbat, you know what I mean? We're like, you know, we're quiet about it, okay? But we are taking authority, because you can take it whether you open your mouth or not, you know? You can take it in the Spirit whether you open your mouth or not. So we're doing that, right? And all of a sudden, there was like a portal basically that opened up over her. And I hesitate to say that because it's a little bit overused, but right now in the church. But really there was. And the Holy Spirit just descends on her. And immediately, instantaneously, she is lucid. Okay. Now here's a girl who was drunk, who was drugged, whose eyes were dilated. I mean, completely out there. And in an instant, she was lucid. Now, I just telling you, like 5 minutes into it, I was like, well, you know, maybe it just wore off. You know, there's my doubt and unbelief again, you know, I know, help me, Lord, you can pray that. I have come a little bit since the 5 years this happened, but, you know, but here's the thing. I knew that it was supernatural because at the very end of our conversation with her, as soon as the Holy Spirit was done delivering what he needed to say, immediately she was drunk and drugged again. Immediately. We had about 25 minutes. A 25-minute window where she was totally lucid, and we were able to speak to her. Now, here's what happened in that encounter. You know, we were telling her that we were there interpreting dreams, wanted to know if she had a dream to interpret, and she was telling us a few different things. And I was praying that God would remind her of a real significant spiritual one. And so we were a little bit into the conversation, and finally she says, you know, we were kind of talking back and forth, actually, right in the middle of the conversation. I see the Holy Spirit light on her mind and remind her of a dream. And right in the middle of a flow of a conversation, she goes, you know what? I just remember this dream. And it was, I mean, it was an angel probably or something, because it was just illuminated in mind. And she looks at us and she goes, so I had this dream. And when I was 11, she said that Jesus visited me in my backyard and I just played with him. And then she like goes on with the conversation. And I'm like, that's a little significant, you know? And so I come back to it and I'm like, I said, Laura, I said, what happened when you were 11? And she said, well, I got kicked out of my house. Can you imagine 11 years old being kicked out of your house, a child being kicked out of your house? And I looked at her and I said, here's the thing. I said, that was Jesus's way of letting you know that he was with you. And she goes, I had a feeling that it was. And so I asked her, I said, you know, we kind of got into a conversation about her spirituality, and so I was just asking her a little bit about it. Well, she starts telling me that she's into all this New Age stuff, okay? And she's like on her way to Machu Picchu, which I don't know if you know what that is, but this place in Inca, or Peru, where there's these Incan ruins, and New Agers believe that all the rocks have this crazy energy, and they can, like, you know, feed off the energy and, I guess, do stuff. I don't know. So, not into it. But she starts telling us about this journey that she's going to be on. Okay, now, let's go back to some of the points that I was talking about. Because knowing that you're just to love people where they're at and that you don't have to convict them of their sin, right? Okay? So I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, so I don't want to, if I try to tell her what she's doing is wrong, she's not going to listen. Do you know what I mean? If I had to try to argue theology with her and preach at her and everything else, she's totally blind to all that right now, you know? So I'm asking the Lord, Lord, how can I connect with where she's at, you know? And he starts telling me, he goes, you know, why don't you tell her to take me with her on that journey to Machu Picchu? And I was like, ooh, that's good, God. So we're sitting here in this conversation, and I looked at her, and she's sharing about this story, and I said, Lord, I can see that you're really spiritual, you know, you're really spiritually hungry. You really want to, you know, you really want to grow spiritually. She said, yes, I am. And I said, well, you know, I said, it's interesting to me that Jesus came and visited you, you know, when you were 11 years old. I said, you know, Jesus is like, you know, he's pretty spiritual. And she goes, he is pretty spiritual. And I go, he's kind of like the master. And she goes, he is the master. I looked at her and I said, you know, I bet if you take Jesus with you on your journey, you're going to be amazed at the things that he reveals to you. And she goes, I never thought about that. And I said, you know, I'm pretty sure that because he came to visit you, he's actually a really important guide for your spirituality. And she goes, I never thought of that. She goes, I need to think about that and pray about that. Now, here's the thing. Okay, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, okay? I am not reducing him to a guide. I am not reducing him to just a spiritual man. I know who he is, okay? But she's not ready to connect with the fullness of who he is. But she was able to acknowledge that he was spiritual. And she was able to acknowledge that he was a master of it, you know? And here's the thing. I know that she prayed that Jesus would go on the journey with her. And I also know that he revealed things about himself to her. Now, as best I know, because I'm still praying for her, I don't believe she's come to salvation yet. Okay? But I do know that God cares very much about where she is and that he's going to keep revealing himself to her as she thinks about Jesus and who he might be in her life. All right. Lastly, the last thing that happened was Mark was talking about the word of wisdom, that we have wisdom and that we have counsel and that we need to give it to people. All right? We have access to the Holy Spirit. Now, this encounter happened with a Christian. It just happened last weekend. So sometimes when you're out there, you're not just going to meet unbelievers that need to know the Lord. You're going to meet believers who need more of the Lord and who need more of his truth, okay? So it's not just about meeting people and just focusing on the unsaved. We need to be encouraging each other out there too, not just here, you know? Okay, so last weekend I was at Sundance and we're in the Turning Leaf Lounge again. And we meet these two, my team and I meet these two Christian filmmakers. And we didn't know they were Christians at first. That kind of came out in the process of our conversation. And in fact, one of them was very resistant at first to what we were doing because he didn't know who we were. And he was checking us out like, what source do you use? You know? And then when I said Jesus, he was like, well, is it the Jesus of the Bible or is it another Jesus? So he was like really checking us out. I'm like, Jesus of the Bible. I mean, he was really like, you know, he was protecting himself. It was good. I honored it, you know, because let me tell you, there are times when we're out there and people don't know who we are just yet. They don't know that we're Christians and they're just like carte blanche. They don't care. They have no discernment. Just tell me what you want, you know, tell me what you want. We need to have discernment, okay? So I honored him for that. Well, anyway, as he trusts us and as they start trusting us more, he starts he and his friends start talking about this project that they're working on. And they're talking about this film project and they have like major hearts of integrity. And they are asking the Lord for what to do next with their film project. And they're really almost like struggling so hard. You know when Christians struggle so hard and it's like they can't even move forward because they want to know that they know that they know, you know, that God's in it or that God's directing every step. And so they just stay standing still, right? Until they have the pure direction and right direction. So they're talking about this, and I can see this in them. I can see that it's coming from a heart of integrity. It's coming because they want to really do what God wants, but they're also in this place where they're stuck because they're not for sure what it is. So I hear John Paul's voice, he's one of my mentors, John Paul Jackson's voice in my head, talking about allowing the peace of God to rule in your hearts. You know, that's in Colossians. So as I'm sitting there, I said, I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to encourage you. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You're not going to know the fullness of the vision. You're not going to know every single step that you're about to take. But if you would just take one step forward, if you remain in peace, you're on the right track. If you take another step forward and you still remain in peace, you're on the right track. The minute that peace lifts from you, because peace is what? It's a fruit of the what? It's a fruit of the Spirit. As long as you keep you're staying with the peace, you'll know that it's God. The minute that peace lifts, hesitate. That was a word of wisdom, you know? That's not something I preach all the time. That's not something I talk about all the time. That was in a moment imparting wisdom and counsel to people who needed to know what God had for their project and what he wanted. And the Holy Spirit was so strong, it was amazing. Now, there's a whole lot more that happened in the encounter, but here's what I'll say. This guy who was a skeptic, who wasn't sure that we were Christians, who even after he found out that we were Christians was like, are you sure you're kosher, you know? We end up praying together, all right? We pray for them, they pray for us. When they're praying for us, he was just crying. He just said, Lord Jesus, I just honor you for this sacred moment. He said, this is a sacred moment in time. And he said, this morning we were praying for a divine encounter. Thank you for sending it to us through these women. Thank you for the wisdom that they just imparted to us. And we bless you and we praise you for meeting us here today. Those kind of encounters are waiting for you out there. All right? Those kind of encounters are waiting for you out there. And if you would carry what you have here, the love, the joy, the peace, the knowing that you're seated with him in heavenly places, knowing all those things, if you would just walk in that, if you would just walk in that, you're going to see that everywhere you go. Chris had an awesome word that started out this whole thing. If you would just believe. I want to tell you one last story. This just happened, not to me, a friend of mine from Denver. Has had loads of prophecy about walking in a healing anointing like John G. Lake, all right? Now, he's not seen a lot of it, okay? I mean, he prays for healing by faith, all right? He's not seen a lot of it. He's prayed for healing again and again and again, not seeing people healed. But by faith, he kept saying, God heals, God heals, God heals, God heals, God heals. Even if I don't see it, God's going to heal. You know, so he kept professing that, just kept praying. All right. So he's in Tanzania a couple weeks ago, sees loads of people healed, you know, blind men having their eyes open, deaf ears opened, all that kind of stuff. You know, all the stories that we hear about from over there that I'm like, please, God, help us walk in here. You know, I want to start seeing the release of that. So he's on his way to Minneapolis after this trip. And he looks over at this woman seated, and she's like uncomfortable. And the Lord says to him, she hurt her back 2 weeks ago. I want you to go pray for her. He's like, Lord, I'm really tired, and, you know, I really need to rest. And he's like, go pray for her. So he goes over there, and he says, hi, my name's Jim. I'm a pastor. Just came from this healing crusade. He goes, the Lord just told me that you hurt your back 2 weeks ago, and he wants to heal you. May I pray for you? And she said, how do you know my back? I hurt my back. And he goes, God told me. And he said, is it okay if I pray for you? She said, well, she goes, yeah, that's fine. And he said, well, is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? And she goes, oh, you mean now? And he's like, yeah. He said, I don't think that God wants you your back to hurt for the next 8 hours of this flight. And she goes, good point. So he puts his hand on her shoulder and he starts praying. Instantly, she's healed. She falls out from her seat into the aisle. She's slain in the spirit. All right? He's like, oh no, what am I going to do? You know? And this flight attendant comes around the corner and sees her, and she's like, oh my gosh, she's just had a heart attack. She's like freaking out. And Jim's like, how do I explain to her that she's slain in the spirit? You know? So he says, okay, well, I'm a pastor and I just prayed and it's okay. She's just resting in the presence of God and she's going to be okay. And he's just like listening to himself, realizing she's like, what are you talking about? So she runs. She goes to get another flight attendant. She brings that flight attendant back, and they're freaking out still. Finally, this woman arouses from, you know, from being under the spirit, and her back is healed, okay? And she's freaking out. So now the flight attendant's like, oh my gosh. So she looks at Jim, and she goes, I hurt my knee 4 weeks ago. Do you think God would heal me? She goes, I've been in major pain ever since, and I have to be able to stand for my job. He goes, yeah. He goes, I'll pray right now. And she goes, but if you pray for me, is that going to happen? And he goes, I don't know. It might. So he prays for her. Instantly, she's healed, okay? He gets better. So this is causing a ruckus in the plane, right? So he's talking to these people around him. All of a sudden, he hears over the loudspeaker. He doesn't even realize the flight attendant has left. He hears over the loudspeaker this woman say, she goes, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, there's a pastor on our flight. He just came back from a healing crusade. I hurt my knee 4 weeks ago, and he just prayed for me, and I got healed. And there was another one on the plane who hurt her back 2 weeks ago, and she got healed. If any of you on the plane... I am totally serious. This is not, I am not making this up. This just happened. If any of you have any condition at all that you want healed, please come forward and this man will pray for you. And you will be healed. Two hours later, he is still praying for people. 5 minutes into it, this British guy comes up and he goes, would you like me to catch for you? Because all these people are getting slain in the spirit. And he's like, thank God someone knows what's going on, you know? So every single person he prays for gets healed, okay? Every single person. Five people end up getting saved. One of them was a Muslim from Saudi Arabia. He was on his way over here to the Mayo Clinic. He had his shoulder, rotator cuff, was messed up. And he had his arm in a sling. So he's on his way to the Mayo Clinic. And Jim prays for him. Well, Jesus prays for him, really, through Jim. You know, Jim prays for him. He gets healed instantly, takes his sling off. He's totally fine. He looks at Jim, and he's like, how are you doing this? Because he's already seen a lot of people healed. He's like, how are you doing this? And Jim just goes, Jesus. This is just Jesus. Jesus heals. That's it. That's it, you guys. Jesus heals. All right? And so he said, do you know Jesus? And the guy goes, well, I know who Jesus is. And he said, no. He said, do you know Jesus? Do you know him personally? And he said, no. And Jim goes, well, would you like to? And he said, yes. He was one of the ones that got saved. Now, Jim's a forerunner. I get it, okay? But I don't want him to be a forerunner for very long. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I don't want him to be that far ahead of us for very long. That's right. Okay?
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, key to unlocking that kind of power is believing. Yeah. Believing, really, that we are who we say we are. That he is who he says he is. And that he in us is who he says he is. Yes. If we would just believe. Yes. If we would just believe. All right, I want to pray a general prayer for everyone. And we want to pray for you, impart to you, and ask God to just stir up in you all the gifts that are already there so that you can take them out there. Okay? All right. Oh, I got to finish with this first. There was a song, I think it was a prophetic song that someone started. And she was saying, there's a melody inside of me. Did you hear that? There's a joy that's going to set people free. And then I heard, oh, the King of Kings, he lives in me. And his light's gonna set people free. Yeah. That's what we have to believe. Yes. There's a melody that lives inside of you, all right?
Yes.
There's a melody that lives inside of you. And it is the joy that's gonna set people free, yes. All right? The King of Kings lives in you. Amen. The King of Kings lives in you. And his light is gonna set people free. It's gonna help blind men see the light of Jesus, yeah. All right? Father God, I just thank you so much. I thank you, first of all, God, that your primary concern is to draw us into intimacy with you. Father, I thank you that you want us to press into your heart, that you want us closer and closer and closer and closer. And so I pray for every single person here, God, that you would draw them into your heart, that you would draw them into intimacy with you. Father, I ask for a divine release now of the joy that is found in you. Fill them with your joy. Father, I pray that they would know that you love them, that they would see themselves sitting on your lap, and that they would come to love themselves and be able to love others as they love themselves. Father, I pray that you would help them believe about themselves, who you say that they are, who you are in them, and who you are, period. Your nature, your character, your kindness, your goodness. Father, I release that in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you would help each person here know that they belong in heavenly places with you. They are seated in heavenly places with you, and that they have access to you 24/7, and that they can know the things of the future for people. They can know things like words of knowledge and words of wisdom and all the gifts of your spirit, and that they can pull all those things from heaven into the natural realm, and that they can see lives change and the atmosphere change. Father, I pray for each person here that you would release them in your authority, that they would know that they hold your scepter, that they would know that they wear your crown, that they know that they can walk in the authority of Jesus Christ everywhere they go, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Father, I pray that you would help them trust you. Help them grow in trusting you, God, that when you give them those impressions, you give those inklings, that they can trust you and that they see the fruit of that. Father, I just ask for a supernatural impartation of prophetic evangelism. I pray for dreams and visions to be released. I pray for understanding of those dreams and visions. And I just pray, God, for the fullness of the destiny that you've placed on each individual here to come to pass. And I pray for the fullness of the destiny that you have for this church, for Heart of God, that they would come into the fullness of the destiny to change San Diego, to change California, and to change every nation that you want to send them to. Too, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray.
If you would like more information about Janine Rodriguez or Images of Light, visit us online at www.imagesoflight.us.